Good morning. One more time, good morning. It is the first Sunday of 2024. Are we excited? I'm excited. If you all stand with us, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us thus far into the year of 2024. We thank you for your many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the continued protection over us and our family, God. We ask that you just have your way with today's service, Lord. We ask that you do what you are known for doing, God, and that is working it out. We continue to want to bless your name, Lord. We ask that you just continue to be with us as we worship and serve you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's okay to put your hands together.
I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, and I praise when I'm doubting. I'm praise when I'm outnumbered, praise when I'm surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning. As long as I'm breathing, you're still in control. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound,
more than a sound.
My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing,
is the only way for me. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I wanna be on it. It's a narrow road, but the mercy is wide, 'cause you're good on your promise. I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I've seen it in my life. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I want to be on it. It's a narrow road, the tide is high, 'cause you're part of the water. I'll take you at your word.
You all may be seated.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Awesome. If you don't mind, just real quickly, and also good morning to those who are online, but just real quickly, if someone's beside you, behind you, in front of you, just reach around and say good morning, good to see you, happy new year. Just shout out somebody, just real quick. Just a touch base and get a little comfortable. If you're at home, you know, you just woke up, get the sleep out your eye, you know. Give somebody a fist bump if you didn't brush your teeth, you know. But nah, thank you so much for engaging today. It's always good to be welcome to get together. Real briefly, my name is Brandon Pendleton. I serve as a volunteer on the New Hope leadership team as well as on the teaching team. It's my custom to pray before I speak, so if you don't mind, I'm just going to go ahead and bow a brief word of prayer and then dive into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. You truly are the only superstar in the church. You have our full attention. Father, please, may this word inspire us to continue to follow you or start our journey or revisit our journey with you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So, if you're familiar with New Hope's website, or if you've attended the Discovering Partnership one-on-one, one thing that you get exposed to is New Hope's mission statement. And just by a show of hands, who in here is familiar with New Hope's mission statement? Who knows it? Who doesn't know? And it's okay. No shame. No shade. Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. We got some. We got others. Some brave souls who knew it, just don't necessarily want to share, but it's all right. But here's what New Hope's mission statement is. New Hope exists to help all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. New Hope exists to help all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And as with any business, any company, any family, when it comes to a mission statement or what we're looking to achieve, you always look for something that you can measure, some kind of quantitative or qualitative data that you hold on to. And for New Hope, some of the evidence that we look for are what we describe in as the heart attitudes or the core values, which is in the heart attitude space is about being and doing. So being humble, being authentic, being teachable, reconciling, serving, giving, and following. And then New Hope's core values are directly related to connected people grow, growing people change, devoted people give, found people find people, and saved people serve people. When it comes to scripture, one of the most scariest scriptures for me as a person who's had an opportunity to serve at this capacity is that where the Bible says that people who teach God's word are going to be judged much more heavily. And so with that being said, I understand the responsibility that I have and the opportunity and the privilege space that I stand in to be able to share and communicate under the leadership of our church leaders and the accountability of our church leaders. So today's message is we're talking about the journey. Intentionally, it is to focus our minds, our hearts on the main thing as we continue our walks with Christ or get to know Jesus. And so I just wanted to pivot and acknowledge that this is a very important piece to our lives, is making sure that we are constantly in the state of growing and learning. In your notes, you'll see a number of scriptures. Just a shame, this is the quick disclaimer. I may not get to all the scriptures that are there. It is to encourage you to be a student of God's word. So that along with the take-home sheet, I pray that you really take your own notes and you take the time to revisit. And then shout out to my folks in the booth who are putting all the slides up. Apologies in advance if I skip one or two items there that we have scheduled, but thank you for your flexibility with this. So anyway, going back into the scripture, going back into the topic today that we're talking about, focusing on the journey, when we're talking about this aspect of the journey, the reality is that every one of us in here, we come from different backgrounds. We all come from different walks of life. Nothing is the same for anyone. And when we consider New Hope's mission statement about becoming fully devoted followers, it suggests that a relationship develops over a considerable amount of time. And that it has a set of experiences associated to that relationship. In that, it also implies that the relationship matures through different seasons. So for a relationship to remain sustainable in a fully devoted fashion, that means the relationship itself increases value and maintains its significance in our lives over a period of time. This relationship Jesus talked about in John chapter 17, and also in Matthew 28, when he talked about this set of believers who would come, people who would come to know him through the message of other people. That's us. That's this generation. That's the generations before us. Those who will learn from the first century church who've continued to progress and share the good news of Jesus coming. And so in hearing the message, even Jesus knows that it's going to hit a diverse set of people from a diverse set of backgrounds, from a diverse set of lifestyles, all in that we each get to know God personally and respectfully. It's important to know that as we're on this journey, that where we start is not necessarily where we finish. And there are two people in the Bible I think are great representations of this. If you know about the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, you know they both have different stories as to how they come to faith and come to know Jesus. Peter was hand-selected by Jesus, and he followed Jesus. But Peter also was one of those followers that when the pressure was on and when fear hit him, he denied Jesus three times. But he was still restored. And he continued on with the mission of the first century church of bringing the truth about Christ. The Apostle Paul, his story is completely different. He was a murderer. He targeted Christians to kill them over this message. And then he had an encounter with Jesus and then flipped the script, a complete 180. And then what he was fighting against, he became a significant champion for. Again, different stories, different backgrounds, same mission, vision, outcome. This discussion about a journey, family, it is a lifelong commitment. But before we go into that, when we talk, specifically what we're going to talk about, a discipleship journey, I want to get into some quick definitions as to this in general terms. First term is journey. A journey is something suggesting travel or passage from one place to another. Very simply, something suggesting travel or passage from one place to another. I like that word passage, so in looking that up, passage means the act or process of moving through, under, over, or past something on the way from one place to another. And then there's this aspect of what we've heard. If you've been in church for a while, you've heard the term disciples. So just in general, the term disciple is a follower or student of a teacher or a leader. But then we hear this other aspect, this term discipleship. Discipleship meaning the character or condition that indicates a disciple. So I look at you, I experience you, I hear you, I talk to you. There's something about the individual that automatically tells me, oh, you are a follower of, in our case, Jesus. For followers of Jesus, the discipleship journey is defined as this. It is the lifelong process of being conformed to the image of Jesus. It is the lifelong process of being conformed to the image of Jesus. We're moving from this space of living our way into following and living Christ's way. If you've heard Rusty speak on many occasions, Rusty's mentions about one of the things that will exist in hell is this idea that I did it my way. They didn't humble themselves or repent of the sin to follow Jesus. That's the difference. We need God's work in our lives to change who we are. That's the whole point in making the decision to follow him. We saw that there is a deficit, a need, and he revealed himself to us, and he drew us to him, and we follow. Dr. Eric Mason, he's a scholar and a pastor at a church here in the United States, and he talks about this whole discipleship journey. He describes it as God is progressively chiseling us into the image of Jesus Christ. progressively chiseling. So if you look at the sculptors and they have like some kind of rock, they have the hammer or the mallet and like a pick, and they're constantly hitting at that rock to shape that rock or that stone into a particular image. That's what God is progressively doing in our lives. And in some spaces, God starts at the, in some cases, God may start at the top, then from the top pause there to move to the side, and then from the side choose to move to the bottom. Why would I describe it that way? Because it's about timing and purpose, and that we're all growing in different stages and areas of our lives that God is working with us. Some examples of when God's doing God's progressive process of making us into the image of Christ, some examples are Bible study, prayer, being in a small group in community with other believers, going through difficult times. Yeah, that's God also using those difficult times to mold us, to chisel us more into the image of Christ. Relationships, whether a marriage, being a parent, being a friend, understanding what that means. All those things God uses to mold us into the shape of Christ. The one thing that we have to remember on this journey, because it can get so easy for us to focus on others, there's only one person that we're following, and that's Jesus. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says this. He says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your own soul? Lifelong process of being conformed to the image of Jesus. So this discipleship journey, another characteristic is that it includes this unending spiritual growth and maturity in a community of believers. Or another way to say it is in the community with other like-minded people. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says something that I think that really hits home in this. So bear with me because it's a little long. It says this. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is in all, who is over all and in all, living through all. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. We have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And here's the thing. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. For those of us in here who are children, it's not to be derogatory. It's about experience. It's about living life and understanding. And over time, as you grow through life, you know better. And when you know better, you do better. So then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who was the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This journey we are on, this discipleship journey, we are constantly in the process of maturing in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus. Don't make the mistake of thinking because somebody is 85 years old that they have reached the pinnacle of Christdom, if that's a word, we're still growing, we're still learning, and there's a lot they have to offer. At the same time, we got to be very careful that we don't make the mistake to think that we've arrived, because we haven't. We're always growing, and some people are growing in other places or faster or in other paces and other spaces of life are more mature than others. Some people may be more mature when it comes to understanding prayer and understanding walking by faith, but that doesn't diminish the value of someone else. Someone else may be more mature in understanding how it is to relate with people and how to bear your burdens and how to be patient with people when they get on your nerves. We're all in the process of growing, and that's the beauty of community, where we come together and we learn, because, again, it's about becoming more like him. Here's another example of how the body is doing the work together. Bible study or prayer groups at work. I know a few colleagues who are part of prayer groups at work. That's not under the formal umbrella of the church. That's other believers coming together and saying, I have a need. We have a need to connect together, and let's pray over our company. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's hear our colleagues who are going through difficult times. Let's leverage our relationship and pray on their behalf as a community of believers for this organization. Let's lift them up. Or for some folks who may be in on-campus ministry, Young Life or Campus Crusade or Impact Movement or whatever you're involved in, those are other ways, other examples of how the body and the community of believers are getting together and walking this out for God's glory. While I appreciate the importance of formal church leadership, it does not negate the responsibility that we as the body have for learning, sharing, discerning, and living truth. We're not exempt from that responsibility. It builds a healthy accountability even for teachers and leaders to be with the body. As long as teachers and leaders are doing what they're supposed to do, the body grows in the community together and on their own. They're being fed and able to take and lead on their own study and hold leadership accountable appropriately. That's the healthy relationship. When it comes to being in a community of believers, in my humble opinion, I feel like sometimes, and I know I've been there, let me just be honest, I sometimes feel like we set the bar so low sometimes, where when we get together, we just want to hear people profess that they're Christians. We just want to hear that you like to become comfortable with the idea. But there's so much more than just that. Because when I find out that someone who professes to be a Christ follower, that means that person said that they are in the lifelong commitment to becoming more like Jesus and is willing to share some aspects of their growth and their development areas. Development areas meaning things I'm not so strong in, things I don't do these things well all the time, but I'm growing. I'm wanting to become more like him. I'm in the process. That's the beauty of having the community and the accountability there. So the journey includes unending spiritual growth and maturity in community with others. The discipleship journey also impacts how we think and how we live. Proverbs 3:5-7 is a great example of this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and the light for my path. It's about following him. He's leading. I'm not looking for Jesus to be my co-pilot. He's the pilot. He's the navigator. He's directing me and where I need to go. There's one scripture I think that resonates, and you can just write this down because I don't have time to go into it, but it talks about renewing your mind. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And being a young believer, I gave my life to the Lord. I made the decision to follow Jesus when I was about 10 or 11 years old. It was around the fifth grade. And going through life, and being raised by family values of respecting adults and respecting authority and leadership, you know, I somewhere in that process, I learned that, or I adopted a mindset that leaders are perfect people. I adopted a mindset that pastors and whoever else can't make mistakes and that whatever they say is right. And I had to learn to stop putting these people on pedestals. And it was hard. And God, as I'm following Jesus, he's allowing me to see the mistakes of certain leaders. And unfortunately, some people on a public stage, I see their mistakes. Where in some cases where they allowed pride to get in the way, or they allowed other things. I saw their humanity. And I had to renew my thinking to realize that even leaders, even people in the church, even Rusty, even Kim, even Stephanie, even Jim, think about all the people who've influenced, Karina, these are all humans. And they are in the same process that I am. They just have a different role in the kingdom. We are all in the process. So relearning and learning how to appreciate my brothers and my sisters in Christ and how to keep a healthy perspective of people when I'm building relationships, especially with leadership, that just because you lead in this space does not mean you are perfect, does not mean you are not a human and don't experience pain. It doesn't mean that you don't get frustrated. It just means that you have growth areas in your walk just as much as I do as a follower of Jesus. I like what the Apostle Paul said in Scripture. He told one church, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's like, don't just blindly follow me because you think I'm Paul and I got a track record of killing people. He's like, nah, don't, I'm just joking about the killing people. But still, don't just follow me because you think I'm just this good dude. He says, I'm nothing. If I'm off my game, if I'm not following Christ, don't you follow what I'm doing. Hold me accountable. As a church, as a community, we are responsible for growing in this area where we have healthy accountability, where we're not necessarily judging people. We can't put the robe and the gavel in our hand to judge. That's God's job to do that. At the same time, there's a way that I can respectfully and lovingly check my brother or sister in Christ to make sure that as we're all growing in the process, that we're still aligned to what God's purpose and plan is for our lives. But it takes growth and maturity. And one other thing I'll say about learning about pedestals and different things, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone can handle or should know somebody's vulnerability. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God, and who we are, God will lead us to the right communities, to the right people, that we can share that vulnerability, where it can be a healthy exchange, a healthy set of building and accountability and growth. Struggles, a space where we feel comfortable in sharing our struggles. Because oftentimes, struggle is just a sign that we haven't given up. Struggle is a sign that we're putting in the work to follow Jesus, to go after him. Mistakes will happen, and it's not for us just to write each other off. We all have room, areas to grow, and we have to actively pursue them. So changing the journey impacts how we think and how we live. The journey also incorporates divine help in all things, especially with life's difficulties and challenges. By difficulties, in other words, you can use as problems, worries, troubles, or struggles. If you didn't know, followers of Jesus, we're not exempt from that. We're not. And if that was what we were running from, to try to have a life that everything is peachy and easy, sorry to tell you, that's not promised to us. John 14, Jesus tells us and makes it known that his followers have the Holy Spirit, so we have help to deal with these things that we face on our journey. And we're not going to read it, but in the 23rd Psalm, I think the 23rd Psalm is a great example of when we follow the Lord, we have a lot of things at our disposal, but we also go through challenges. Like David leads into it. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. All this beautiful, colorful language, right? And then he goes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, wait a second. You said he's your shepherd. You're following him. Yes, that's right. And as I'm following him, I'm going to walk through some valleys. He said, but you know what? I have no reason to fear because you are with me and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we're equipped. We have God's divine help on this journey. Even when we face circumstances that like, yo, what is this? I've never seen this before. God has divine insights and we can lean on him for that. Another thing that David said in the 23rd Psalm that I thought was pertinent, he even says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Wait a second. You mean following Jesus, I'm going to have enemies? I'm going to have problems? Yeah, people are not necessarily going to like you for whatever reason. Sometimes your personality just doesn't fit theirs. But even in the midst of that, you have God taking care of you. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you caused there some rift to be between you and another entity or another person. It's just the reality of life. We're going to have people who rock with you, who don't. You know, I know some of y'all prefer to hear Rusty. He'll be back next week. So, yeah. Anyway, we have divine help in all things, even with life difficulties and challenges. And I don't always know. But one thing that is so, I don't really always know why, but the one thing that brings me peace and that brings me help as a follower of Jesus, because I'll be real with you, what's the point of believing if God is not sovereign over all? What's the point of following if I don't believe what this Bible tells me? If I don't see this really happening in my life as this Bible tells me, then why? Why even take the step of faith? And that's the beauty of difficulties, because it brings me to a humble place where I have to realize I can't control anything, but God, you know and can do all things. Help me. And that's the beauty of the journey, because we have to take a step. We have to take a step, little by little, take a step. And as we make progress on the journey, here comes clarity. Here comes support. Here comes help. Here comes peace. Here comes a number of things there. My whole point on that, family, when facing challenges, is that you're not alone. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, you're not alone. Yes, you have a community of believers, but you have a Heavenly Father who knows all, sees all, and can do anything. Tap in, lean in, because again, this relationship that we're talking about has to mature. It matures over time through a different set of seasons, through a different set of experiences, through a different set of challenges. So as we've learned, and as if you read the scripture, when Jesus had sent the disciples over the lake, Jesus had challenged them when they were scared, and when the storm started coming, Jesus had challenged them. He said, you had little faith, why are you concerned? You saw what I've done for you throughout your journey. There's enough data that's there to let you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes you got to go through it just for him to hit that point and remind you, I got you. I got you. No matter what you face, I got you. That was for somebody right there, because that wasn't in my notes. Or as Rusty says, that one's free. So the journey, we have divine help in all things, especially when dealing with life difficulties and challenges. And the last thing I'll say here, family, is the journey involves making more disciples. This discipleship journey involves making more disciples, making more followers. Here's how we do it as part of God's body of Christ. We do this by sharing God's goodness and faithfulness and affecting our communities and the world for his glory by how we live. Ephesians 2:10 says this. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says this. He says, you are the light of the world, like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. It all leads back to him. Because quite frankly, we all know in humanity with the fall, there's this thing that we all carry, this depravity, this sin, this ability to want to do things our own way. And if we're not careful from a church perspective, we can make the mistake of only believing that the responsibility sits with those who work full time in the church, people who get the paycheck to do this job, if we will. And that can't be so far from the truth. We each have a responsibility because there are spaces that God has called all of us to that others can't go. We have people who cover the corporate America spaces. We have people who cover the arts. We have people who cover, you know, fill in the blank, any different domain that's out there. It's necessary for them all. Because he said he desires what? For all people to repent and to come to know him. The one example at New Hope that I think really hones in on this about the body taking, getting involved and taking responsibility on the discipleship journey is what we do here when it comes to baptisms. And that, I mean, when I came to New Hope, that they were, I think they were the first church that I ever saw do this. And I thank God other churches also adopt this, but New Hope doesn't just have the pastor or the leader over a ministry do the baptizing. New Hope asks the question, who was the most significant person or people in your life that helped you in making the decision to choose to follow Christ? Bring them and let them baptize you. That's powerful. That's so powerful. And so it's important for us to know that we can't just sit on the sidelines in the body of Christ when it comes, but we have to maintain an active role. So don't shy away from that. As you're growing in the spaces that you share with others, God is using you to sow or nurture a seed for his glory in the lives of those that you have influence on. Last thing I'll say something about this, in my opinion, when it comes to focusing on the journey, this discipleship journey, I think another great reflection of this is our Celebrate Recovery ministry. One of the things about Celebrate Recovery, when I witnessed, you know, a few sessions there, there's a lot of honesty, there's a lot of intentionality, there's a lot of faith and full reliance on Christ's leadership and guidance to overcome a hurt habit or hang-up that doesn't serve a person well. There's humility, there's honesty, there's accountability, and there's support. All that's the makeup of helping make disciples after Jesus. So family, my prayer is that you take this opportunity in this new year. It's always good to kind of look at the new year when you have a fresh start. Take some time to evaluate where you are in your journey and your discovery of Jesus. And ask the question, what areas is God kind of trying to grow me into? And why? I have an answer for the why. The answer is, he's conforming all of us every day more and more to the image of Christ. And this discipleship journey is a lifelong process to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, the purpose that it serves, the mission it accomplishes. Lord, I pray that as we continue to take steps of faith, God, just assure us of your presence, assure us of your truth. Help us to see areas that don't serve us well, and help us to be willing to move, let go, and go through this healthy passage of letting go or whatever old way of thinking and operating and moving into where you will be maturing us and developing us, Lord. I thank you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Cool.
Thank you, Brandon. My name is Karina. I'm the Director of Education here at New Hope, and as Brandon so eloquently shared with us, we're all on a journey. And New Hope calls our adult education courses Journey. And so this is a great tie-in today for us to be launching our winter journey session. So you received a card as you came in that tells you about all the classes. And I just want to take a minute to go over all of them with you, and I hope that you will think about it and sign up for one of the classes if you haven't before. So let's jump right in. The first class is called the 6-Week Money Challenge, and that's led by two good friends of mine who are very knowledgeable about all things finances and to do with the law. And if you haven't ever spent time thinking about how your finances impact your faith, I would really encourage you to take this class. It will be on Zoom, so even more convenient. The next class is called the Anxiety Opportunity, and that's one that myself and Sue McLaurin are going to be leading. Anxiety is something that I can claim an attachment to, so I decided what better way to learn than to lead a group on it. So it is for women only. We really want to just create a safe space where we can explore this topic. If that's something that you think describes you, we would love to have you join us. The next class is Starting Point, and this is a really special class New Hope has been doing for a long time. It is for people who are seekers, starters, or returners. And those three groups, to describe them, seekers, if you're on a quest to figure out, you know, what does faith mean? Who is God? Do I believe he loves me? You're kind of at that very beginning stage. The next group is starters. So if you in like the last year have made a decision to accept Christ as your savior and want to know, what does it look like to follow him? You know, kind of some of those big questions of faith. This is also a really great class. And then if you haven't been to church for a long time and now you're back and you're sort of thinking this is a new way of orienting my life and priorities, this would also be a great group for you to join. The next one is called Bibles and Beakers, and I do have to say I'm a little biased because this one my husband is leading. He's a scientist who is also a devoted follower of Christ, and if you are interested in learning about how those two things can go together with a little humor thrown into, because that's kind of his jam, you can sign up for that course. And then the last one is called Unbound, Freedom in Christ. And I like to think of this one as it's a ministry that helps you when you're stuck. So maybe it's something from your past that's holding you back. Maybe it's something happening in your present. But it's not letting you have a future, and it's just holding you back. And this is a powerful ministry that helps you walk through what does freedom in Christ really look like. All these courses, you can sign up at nhc.click/journey. And if you have any questions, I will be out in front of the fireplace after the service. I'd be happy to talk with you. So now we're going to worship a little more.
We're going to continue with our worship if you all would stand with us.
Grand earth is quake before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. That's in front of me. Will
be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well.
And it is well because he's the God that sees and provides. He is Jireh. Sing this next song with us, please. Thank you, Lord.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. And does it take a trophy to make you proud? I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to calm me out. You ain't crossed an ocean, so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now.
I'm already
you so much, New Hope, for worshiping with us. We'll see you all next week. Have a blessed week.